As Nancy emphasized, we have one reading for today. The second reading was Jesus healing the man who was afflicted by a legion of evil spirits. And the spirit said, oh, don't send us away to oblivion. Jesus sent him into a bunch of pigs. And the pigs ran over the cliff and died, presumably. And I don't know, it just didn't seem like the scripture to read today. So I think the long reading from Kings is good. In part because Jesus had a lot of Elijah in him. Elijah was a master showman, but he probably knew he went too far this time. The chapter before the 18th chapter of 1 Kings is full of how he mocked the prophets of Baal, how he worked the crowd and Ahab the king and Jezebel the powerful foreign queen. Elijah held a public barbecue competition between the prophets of Baal, the 450 prophets of Baal, and the prophets of God. That was Elijah. Elijah took two bulls, and he said to the prophets, you choose, they're equal, you choose the one you want. And he said, let's have a bake-off. You do your best. Prepare the wood, prepare the bull, and have your God light the fire. Well, the prophets did their best. They got out their dry rub and they got out their sauces and they slaughtered the bull and they prepared the wood and they danced and they sang and they shouted and they screamed and they prayed some more. And well, of course, nothing happened, and Elijah was off to the side commenting. Oh, maybe your God's on vacation. Oh, maybe your God is busy with something else. Or, oh, maybe your God just isn't God. He teased them pretty hard. Peter Rowan, the country folk musician, has a song about bragging. I don't remember the title, but it starts with these words, my truck is better than your truck. My truck is better than your truck. And then in the second verse, he says, well, my God is better than your God. My God's better than your God. My God gets the job done, and your God is just odd. My God is better than your God. Elijah would have liked that. I think maybe he would have even hummed that to himself while he was walking. Your God is just odd, he said to the prophets of Baal. Well, they failed, and so Elijah took his turn. And he used a wet sauce, prepared the bull, prepared the wood, and then took gallons of water and dumped it on the bull and dumped it on the wood so that everything was wet. And this is in the middle of a drought, so this is an extravagant use of water. And Elijah prayed to God, oh God, light this fire. And like Daenerys and one of her dragons, the fire was lit and the barbecue was ready. And this is before the king and before the queen. This is before the people of the court. Everybody's standing around watching. And Elijah says, take the prophets of Baal and kill them. And that day, they were killed. Elijah probably knew he went too far. And that's probably too far. And so he decided to run for it, to get away. An angel rescued him once and then rescued him again. The words Elijah says, we have translated, "It is enough," probably means I've done what I can do. I can't do anymore. And in fact, in the Hebrew rendering of "it is enough," it's very similar to what the angel said. It's too much for you. Elijah knew he had gone too far. But he was encouraged to eat and drink and go off into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. Like Jesus. And in the cave, Elijah hears the voice, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" Elijah tells his story as if God was not paying any attention. And God says, "Go stand on the mountain. God is going to pass by." There was the earthquake, and there was the fire, and there was the great wind, and God wasn't in any of them. And then there was the silence. We don't get silence in our world very much anymore. I had it this week when lightning struck Thursday and hit something, and for 5 minutes the power was out at church, and I've been listening to internet radio and listening to, my fan was on and air conditioning is on, and you get to know the building and all the noises that it makes. There was no noise. Complete silence. Elijah experienced a sheer silence. Or the King James Version, a still, small voice. "Elijah, why are you here?" And Elijah goes through his answer, and God changed the subject. "Oh, afraid of Jezebel? Yeah, well, right. I want you to go someplace else." Said to Elijah to return, but Elijah didn't return by going to Damascus. That's where Elijah was in the first place. God said, "Go around. Go to this other city. Get help. You can't do this alone." God redirected Elijah. Find new leaders to continue this task. Find help. And the prophets of Baal will be destroyed. And the rest of the story is violent. Thousands of people are killed. Tens of thousands of people are killed in the great purge to get rid of the followers of Baal. Christians make a lot of this story of God being there in the sheer silence. We saw that in the second hymn written by John Greenleaf Whittier. Yes. We like that still, small voice of God coming to us. Very tender. God came to Elijah and said, "Go get some help and keep killing." God was awfully direct to Elijah of what should be done. What are we doing here? I imagine at some point in the incident of the Stonewall Inn, June 28th, 29th, 30th, 1969, it kind of ended after there was a bunch of rain, the protests, they would last till 4 in the morning. probably wondered, why are we here? And they found their answer, we can't take this anymore. They stood on the shoulders of others who had gone before them, like Frank Kameny, who in the mid-60s protested in Washington, D.C., of how he and others of the community were treated. They stood on the shoulders of the Mattacine Community Society that was founded in 1953 to promote gay rights, and the Daughters of Bilitis, founded in 1955, who promoted lesbian rights. The Stonewall folks stood on the shoulders of Woolworth protesters, on the shoulders of the women's movement protesters, on the shoulders of union organizers, and anyone who stands up for the common person. And that work's not over. It's a fine thing to acknowledge a great anniversary, like a 50th anniversary. It's a fine thing to decorate the church and to have parades and to join in celebrations and to bask in the victories for a day or for a week. But then, what are we doing here? If you think God is telling you to kill all the evil prophets, we need to talk, because in the 3,000 years or so between, 3,500 years between Elijah and now, we've worked out some other ways to take care of our aggression. Killing is not always the only answer. Let's talk if you feel that. But if you think God isn't saying anything to you, I ask you to keep listening. I did some reading about Stonewall and the events that went on around it. And one writer wrote that after World War II, there was a quest to return our country to normal. To normal. The good old days. And the problem was the good old days weren't so good. The good old days sometimes were racist, sometimes were homophobic, sometimes were hypermasculine. Sometimes the normal really meant silencing a whole bunch of people who were suffering. I think it turned out that normal wasn't. And in all the movements in the 50s and 60s and 70s on up to now, the quest for voices to be heard. So, what are we doing here? I think there are lots of things God is trying to say to us. Changing things for the better is always in good season. And whether that mean ensure rights of the immigrants, that they may not have to live in concentration camps, or defending the rights of the LGBT community, that they may continue to be able to express themselves, or it's community banking laws that try to get away from horrible loans made to the poor that end up ruining their lives. There's lots of things for us to struggle against and to work for. So may we listen to God's voice and act with God's blessing. Amen.